This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Johnny Mathis's My Funny Valentine shows today's program is a special program, Valentine's Day music. This intro song, for example, was recommended by Annie Collins of Wellington, New Zealand. Thank you, Annie. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us from the website holidayinsights.com. Question number one, what is the origin of the phrase to wear your heart on your sleeve? Is that A, nurses would tape paper hearts on their medical folder sleeves as they made rounds on February 14th to cheer up patients? Or is it B, in the Middle Ages, young men and women would draw names from a bowl to see who their Valentine would be and then wear that name on their sleeve for 1 week? Was it C? It was common practice in France during the Renaissance to proclaim your love by shyly mumbling into your clothing as you approached your beloved. Or was it D? Wounded veterans used to pin their Purple Heart ribbons to the outer sleeves of their uniforms for enhanced visibility. And question number two, in Victorian times, it was considered bad luck to do what on Valentine's Day? Was it A, bad luck to sign a Valentine's Day card? B, bad luck to practice archery with anyone named Cupid? Was it C, pin bay leaves to your pillow before going to sleep? Or was it D, bad luck to send flowers to yourself? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. As noted in the intro to today's program, the theme for this music review episode is Valentine's Day music and musicians. Rather than our regular organization by genre, the organization for today's music news is basically chronological. Now, not every suggestion could be included, but we hope that listeners will be pleased with the iTunes that were selected for this program.
They ask me how I knew my true love was true. Oh,
Margaret Smith of Huntsville, Texas, recommended Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by The Platters as one of her favorite Valentine's Day songs. ElsieCarlisle.com states that it seems hard to believe, but the perennial favorite, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, was twice discarded from shows before it actually got used in the Broadway musical Roberta. Jerome Kern originally composed it as a tap dance number to be performed during a scene change in his 1927 hit Showboat, but for one reason or another it was cut. In 1932, Kern retooled it as a march to be used as the theme song for an NBC radio series, which never aired. It was in the light, romantic 1933 drama Roberta that Smoke Gets in Your Eyes was finally introduced to the public, this time retooled as a sentimental ballad. The lyrics borrow the tagline, "When your heart's on fire, smoke gets in your eyes," from a Russian proverb. The original Broadway production of Roberta starred, amongst others, Bob Hope and Fred McMurray. SongFacts.com adds Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by the Platters rose to number one in USA and England in 1958. The lyrics were written by Otto Hardback and the music by Jerome Kern. Thank you, Margaret, for this wonderful recommendation for our Valentine's Day program. Next song, Elvis's recording of Can't Help Falling in Love, is in honor of Bill and Jean McClure, who reside in Garner, North Carolina. As noted in songfacts.com, this song by Elvis went to number one in England and number two in the USA in 1961. It was featured in the 1961 Elvis movie Blue Hawaii. This was Elvis's most popular and famous love song, but it was not sung to his love interest in Blue Hawaii. It was sung to his grandmother on the occasion of her birthday. Elvis presented her with a music box, which she opened, and it played the song, which Elvis then sang along with. The melody is based on a French song called Plaisir d'amour, which was penned in 1784. Elvis ended most of his concerts with this song.
Take my hand, take my hold. Shadow of your smile when you are gone.
This next song, The Shadow of Your Smile, is devoted to Terry and Karina Foskett. Terry moved to Apex, North Carolina from England after his wife passed away. Thank you, Terry, for this Valentine's Day song recommendation. As noted by Bill Genovitz in his review of this song published in AllMusic.com, though not as ubiquitous as Quincy Jones, Johnny Mandel is one of those musical figures whose name appears in various capacities spanning the decades from the big band era to film and television scores from the 1970s and beyond. Written for the film The Sandpiper, The Shadow of Your Smile won both a Grammy and an Academy Award for Mandel. A song can come from anywhere, he said in an interview. The Shadow of Your Smile started off as the instrumental theme for The Sandpiper. Lyrics were then added. One day we walked along the sand, one day in early spring. You held a piper in your hand to mend its broken wing. Now I'll remember many a day and many a lonely mile, the echo of a piper's song, the shadow of your smile.
And so did I.
Peggy Ryerson from Virginia, Minnesota, recommended this love song as their favorite. Thank you, Ron and Peggy, for recommending this popular and appropriate Valentine's Day tune. SongFacts.com reveal this about this song, Unchained Melody. This first appeared in the 1955 movie Unchained. The Righteous Brothers' 1965 cover was a huge hit, but it was recorded with far more modest expectations. Phil Spector considered it album filler and released it as a B-side, but many DJs preferred Unchained Melody and played that one instead of the A-side. The famous climax of this song, where Bobby Hatfield sings the high "I need your love" line, wasn't how the song was written. Unchained Melody was never intended to be the single, but the minute it was released, Unchained Melody just went through the roof. Megan Garber, in an article published in the 7/13/15 issue of The Atlantic magazine, adds, "The film Ghost, released in mid-1990, owes much of its long lifespan to that literally pivotal scene involving Clay. And that scene, in turn, owes much of its power to the song that accompanied Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze and their nocturnal pot-throwing, Unchained Melody." In July of 65, the Righteous Brothers covered the song, and their version, the one that remains iconic 50 years later, was the one that would bring North's tune and Zaret's lyrics to jukeboxes across America, making it a standard, not just on the radio and in films, but also as a kind of backdrop to everyday life. And then came, in 1990, Ghost, and then came, in short order, everything else.
Trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
John Riddle recommended the song What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong for he and his wife, Margie Riddle. They currently reside near Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Thank you, John and Margie, for this recommendation. The lyrics are so timeless. This 1968 recording charted at number 1 in England, number 32 in the United States. Songfacts.com adds, "The song is about appreciating the beauty of our surroundings." Armstrong recorded this for scale, accepting only $250 to make sure the orchestra got paid. This is the song most associated with Louis Armstrong, but it does not represent the body of his work, which consists mostly of jazz. It was more appreciated 20 years later when it was used in the Robin Williams movie, Good Morning, Vietnam. The 66-year-old Armstrong became the oldest act atop the UK charts when this reached number one in 1968. Armstrong provided the vocals but didn't play his trumpet on the recording. He would often play his signature instrument during live performances of the song, though.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I love you still.
When my wife, Christine, and I married back in 1968, the Beatles were filling the airwaves. This song, I Will, is from the White Album recorded that same year. Thank you, Christine. The lyrics capture today's theme perfectly. As noted in songfacts.com in the televised documentary The Beatles Anthology, Paul, George, and Ringo are shown relaxing on a blanket outside. Ringo asks Paul what he wrote in India, and Paul answers, I Will. Then George begins playing the song on his ukulele, while he and Paul harmonize with it.
And when at last I find you, your song will fill the air. Sing it loud so I can hear you. Make it easy to
I'm
Heather and Daniel Osborne of San Francisco, California, recommended their quote-unquote wedding song for inclusion in today's special program devoted to music about love. That song, it's Al Green's Let's Stay Together. As noted in songfacts.com, this song is about an unconditional love where you are determined to stick it out through good times and bad. It's a very popular wedding song. Thank you, Heather and Daniel, for recommending it for today's special program. And as noted by DoYouRemember.com on the 13th of April, 2018, in an article entitled The Story Behind Al Green and His Soulful R&B Song Let's Stay Together, we learn that Albert Green, also known as the Reverend Al Green, is best known for recording a series of soul hit singles in the early 1970s, including I'm Still in Love with You, Love and Happiness, and his signature song Let's Stay Together. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995, Green was referred to on the museum site as being one of the most gifted purveyors of soul music. According to Rolling Stone magazine's Top 500 Songs, Green wrote the lyrics in 5 minutes. During a 1979 concert, Green fell off the stage and narrowly escaped serious injury. He considered the incident a warning from God and has since devoted himself to the ministry. Released as a single in 1971, Let's Stay Together reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and remained on the chart for 16 weeks, while also topping Billboard's R&B chart for 9 weeks. It was selected by the Library of Congress as a 2010 addition to the National Recording Registry, which selects recordings annually that are culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. The song went on to claim the number one position on the Billboard year-end chart as an R&B song for 1972. Missy Hollander of Raleigh is partly responsible for the special focus of today's music review program. Missy noted that a good example of the more general theme about love is Alice Cooper's song, You and Me. Her husband, Chris, who also liked this song, was actually surprised to learn that this was done by the heavy metal shock rocker, Alice Cooper. Thank you, Missy and Chris, for this recommendation. Songfacts.com notes that the 1977 song by Alice Cooper, You and Me, is not at all typical of Cooper. This is a very romantic soft rock song by the grandfather of goth. It is every man's love song to his significant other, celebrating the everyday pleasures of two people sharing their lives together. This love ballad was a significant departure from Cooper's usual dark-themed rockers. It was the last in a trilogy of ballads Cooper recorded following Only Women Bleed and I Never Cry. He has described this genre as, quote-unquote, heavy metal housewife rock. This was the lead single off the 1977 album Lace and Whiskey, which was the shock rock legend's third album as a solo artist. Cooper decided to change up his sound a bit on this collection and soften his image. He considered it a concept album based on a 1940s-era detective he called Inspector Maurice Escargot.
Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore.
Kathleen Rudolph of Raleigh, North Carolina, says that she and her husband Mark think of Billy Joel's song, Just the Way You Are, as their song. Thank you both for this appropriate recommendation. Several other listeners also gave a nod to Billy Joel. As noted in songfacts.com, this song charted at number 3 in the U.S. in 1977. Joel wrote this song about his first wife, Elizabeth, a pure expression of unconditional love. He gave it to her as a birthday present. Every time I wrote a song for a person I was in a relationship with, it didn't last, Joel said. It was kind of like the curse. Here's your song. We might as well say goodbye now. Joel expanded to USA Today interview by saying, I dreamt the melody, not the words. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and going, this is a great idea for a song. A couple of weeks later, I'm in a business meeting and the dream reoccurs to me right at that moment. Because my mind had drifted off from hearing numbers and legal jargon, and I said, I have to go. I got to go home. And I ended up writing it all in one sitting, pretty much. It took me maybe 2 or 3 hours to write these lyrics.
Someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you are.
It's hard for me to stop my heart. Love never knows when the time is right. I don't want to hurt anybody, but can't help loving you.
Next up, Marlo and Vivian Boyd of Pleasant Hill, California, have this recommendation. Baja, here singing Time and Tide. As noted by Paul Sinclair on the 25th of June, 2013, in SuperDeluxeEdition.com, entitled From Matt Bianco to Baja, the story of Time and Tide, Polish-born Basia Czechalewska released Time and Tide, her debut album on CBS Records in 1987. Heavy promotions and a string of singles in the UK, the record was destined only for moderate success in Britain, but it would go on to sell over 1 million copies in the US and also prove very successful in France. Baja had worked alongside keyboard player and songwriter Danny White to make Time and Tide. When Baja and Danny signed to CBS Records, he began to work on her first solo album, Time and Tide. I've never written any songs before. Danny pushed me to write. I'd only spoken English for 3 years by then. He was making me write these words, which was very difficult, but I did it. And not only that, just making up melodies and writing tunes. It was such fun. I was like a child in a candy store. It was enjoyable. No pressure. Nobody knew what we were doing, and Danny and I were starting to be together, romantically, at that time. So it was fun. When Tide and Tide came out, everyone was telling me, it's too jazzy, not commercial enough, completely different to what was on the radio. So I didn't have very big expectations. So I was very surprised when France started to take an interest in our songs like Promises. After the success in France and England, we got a call from America saying Time and Tide had found its way onto what was then called the NAC stations, New Adult Contemporary, which now I think has evolved into what they call smooth jazz. And then it just started to grow.
Unforgettable, though near or far.
Oliver Williams of Raleigh not only celebrates Valentine's Day on February 14th, he also celebrates his wife Julia's birthday on that same day. Nat King Cole is one of their favorites, especially the 1991 duet that he sings with his daughter, Natalie Cole. Thank you, Oliver and Julia, for recommending this beautiful song. Songfacts.com notes that Nat King Cole was the biggest seller for Capitol Records for much of the late 40s and early 50s. Nat's daughter, Natalie Cole, overcame a wild seesaw of a career with Dizzying Heights and Terrifying Lows. At age 41, though, she had her greatest success with the unforgettable With Love album.
That's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone's so unforgettable.
So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, what is the origin of the phrase to wear your heart on your sleeve? Correct answer was answer B. In the Middle Ages, the young men and women would draw names from a bowl to see who their Valentine would be and then wear the name on their sleeve for 1 week. To wear your heart on your sleeve has now come to mean that it's easy for other people to know how you're feeling. And the answer to our second question, in Victorian times, it was considered bad luck to do what on Valentine's Day? Correct answer was answer A, considered bad luck to sign your Valentine's Day card. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time. We close out today's program with one of the most popular love songs ever, Etta James, At Last. This one goes out to Ryan and Tiffany of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.